are listening to Alpha Geek Radio.
The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, January 21st, 2016. We're still 5 years old. And welcome to the Alien Invasion number 171, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me as always, Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens. What's up, guys?
Not much.
Not much. Hey, we finally finished Alex's history exhibit thing, so I'll be able to start cranking out more episodes of The Adventure Party and get caught up.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations.
You don't sound like you...
No,
I'm not buying that.
Dude, this is the voice of a very, very tired person. I worked my first full... Well, I've got one more day left, but this is the first full week of work I've done in over 2 years, and in a job that I'm not accustomed to. It's a lot of walking around and physical things, not sitting in front of a computer or a microphone all day. There's big, big difference between those two jobs.
No, very true, very true.
That's why I sound like I don't care. Believe me, I care. I care very much. I'm very proud of you, sir. And you can check out more about Adventure Party at our website. You've got your own URL, right? It's gncasts.com/party. Is that what it is?
Adventure.
Oh, adventure.
gncasts.com/adventure.
All right. Hey, this is, we have, this podcast also has one.
It's, what?
It's gncasts.com/aliens.
And that's, bam!
That's why we're here. We're here to talk about extraterrestrials and all the forms that they take. In science, sci-fi, real life, wherever they may be, we get to the bottom of it. We talk about it. We discuss in depth. We joke. We make jokes a lot of times. So let's get to it.
Yeah.
We section off the podcast into three areas: the news, the sightings, and the picks for the week. Before we start, want to thank and we want to apologize to Alpha Geek Radio. For any problems that we may cause on their stream. Thank you for allowing us on your audio and video stream.
We love you, Todd.
Yes. Thanks, Todd. AlphaGeekRadio.com. You can follow us on Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel or join our Facebook group. And all the links are at our website, gncasts.com. So without further ado, let's get going with the news.
In the news.
And who's up first? Is it Anessa?
Me.
All right. What do you got?
Aliens are impregnating humans. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
Aliens sexing the humans.
Yeah.
Something that I learned today is that there is a U.S.-based hybrid children community. And they are trying to recruit more parent breeders in a bid top, quote, evolve the human race into a new subspecies, which will take over the Earth when the children currently, conveniently, housed on giant spaceships return to our planet.
Okay. Anessa, before you get any further into the details, this has the makings of a new TLC reality show, doesn't it?
It really does. I wonder what their names would be like. Would they be like more human names, or would they be more like from the alien side? I mean,
you could do both. You could do an alien first name and a human last name, like Zarkon Jones. You know,
Zarkon Jones. Nice,
Mr. Jones. So,
all right, go on, please.
All right. Women in the group, who include young, glamorous 20-somethings, even claim mating with reptile-like lizards was the best sex they have ever experienced. Which, first I have to say, aren't lizards reptiles? Or am I wrong?
Sorry, one more time?
I don't know.
It says they claim mating with reptile-like lizards. Aren't reptiles... Aren't lizards reptiles?
Well, so are snakes.
Yeah.
So you have to specify.
Can they just say, like, lizards?
So lizards have limbs.
Well, I know, but I mean, they could just say lizards.
Yeah, they could.
So anyway. Second note is that they say that it was the best sex that they have ever experienced.
What?
It's a lizard. I say it's the tongue.
Yeah. No, I could totally see that.
So, anyway, moving on to the women in the group. It includes someone by the name of Bridget Nielsen, 27, from Sedona, Arizona, who is a hybrid mom and medium who charges $65, or if you're in the UK, £46, for an over-the-phone session to put parents who believe they may have conceived hybrid children in touch with their offspring, according to the community's website. Describing sex with a lizard being on a spaceship, she said, it was great. It was an incredible, super primal, super raw, super primal sexual experience.
How many? And it might have been primal. We're not sure, but it might have been.
Or maybe even super raw. I don't know. There was a real freedom, and we were really going for it. It was the best sex I ever had. Another young hybrid mom is Aluna Verse from Los Angeles, California. Now I'm calling shenanigans on this. Aluna Verse?
Yeah.
It's kind of like universe.
Mm-hmm.
Between them, Bridget and Aluna claim to have 13 children fathered by aliens. The website, which also charges for other similar sessions and asks for donations, says there are millions of hybrid parents on Earth who have conceived children with aliens either through artificial insemination or full sex, and many remain unaware. The community was founded by Sharon McCormick, aged in her 60s, and former marketing executive Miss Nielsen. On the website, Miss McCormick says, since I discovered 6.5 years ago that I have many hybrid children, my mission in life has become to help spread the word that they're real, positive, and loving, and to support the parents, siblings, and friends of these remarkable kids. The concept of hybrid children is so new to so many of us that I believe connecting with each other is of primary importance for moving us all ahead towards the day when we will be vibrationally ready for the children to arrive on Earth. I'm not understanding vibrationally ready.
Well, you know, we have to be in a certain space in our lives, our aura has to be just right for all the
things,
wonderful creatures of the world, galaxy, universe to join with us here on planet Earth. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. So anyway, members of the group believe aliens have been harvesting their DNA to create children that combine the best of both human and alien characteristics over a period of several years. Miss Nielsen said alien sex was the best ever because, you know, this article hasn't mentioned it enough, and refuted claims from skeptics of a lack of evidence for cosmic carnal encounters, says ETs only take women who, quote, want to be taken. She lives with her dad, but claims to have 4 boys and 6 girls who she has regular contact with. She said, they are not just taking our children, they are creating a hybrid race to better humanity. The parents draw their hybrid children who look, as you might expect, like a human/reptilian crossbreed with big black eyes. Miss Verse, a computer game designer who claims to have 3 hybrids, says she was taken on board a spaceship in a dream state, and she has vivid memories of the sex. She said, I was in a classroom setting with other humans. All of a sudden, I'm sat next to this green reptilian creature, and immediately I'm so sexually turned on looking at his being. I was very surprised. We were making love in this classroom in front of everyone, which I'm sorry. If you're in a classroom in front of people doing it for the first time, it's not exactly making love. There's no love there. You're just having sex. So everyone turned their attention to us. It sounds crazy, and people have asked if I'm off my meds, but this is really happening. Philip Malika from Clarkston, Michigan, aged in his 50s, claims to have been discovering his hybrid children since 2012. He said, "I feel a great love for these children, mine and all the others as well. I look forward with great anticipation as this all unfolds." In an almost cult-like move, the group say they are planning to establish a property where they can live together as a safe place for their children to visit. Ms. Nielsen said, "It will be somewhere away from the cities, somewhere where the children can visit, run free, and express themselves. People say we are crazy, but we are not. This is really happening to us."
All right.
And that was from the express.co.uk.
I'm just trying to find the right music to set the scene here. As we discuss this further, I like how she said, "The sex."
The sex. Apparently it's the best ever.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Now, keep on talking so we don't get this video booted off YouTube.
Oh, okay, I see what you're doing. Because, you know, it's the best ever. where's the quote with all the... Oh, here we go.
Okay.
It was an incredible, super primal, super raw, super primal sexual experience.
Super, super.
Super, super primal, super raw, super redundant. Just, you know, yeah. Redundant.
Oh, so redundant.
Oh, goodness.
I was so happy when I saw that story. And I wanted to share it with you. For the podcast.
You know, I was thinking when you mentioned music, it was something like you just played or dubstep because they mentioned vibrational thing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of the whoop, 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 whoop thing. So.
The sex. I was trying to do my best Borat impersonation. My wife. The sex.
Ah, goodness.
All right.
This is really interesting. And I like that they mentioned that if I'm off my meds, people have asked if I'm off my meds.
Of course. Of course.
Anyway.
All right. It takes all kinds. I mean, who knows? It may be true, but it doesn't sound like it.
No. Once they mentioned a Luna verse, yeah. Sounds like universe. And I'm like, no, yeah. We're done.
All right. Let's move on to something that we know is fake. Star Wars.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Pretty positive. Star Wars Rogue One's aliens will be more realistic than in The Force Awakens. This comes from GameSpot.com. The many sources. One of the many sources where I found this today. In keeping with the decision to use largely practical effects for its aliens in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, this year's standalone movie Rogue One will use the same crew. Now creature effects supervisor Neil Scanlan has revealed a few details about what to expect from Rogue One's aliens. Speaking to MTV, Scanlan said, "In the world of Force Awakens, there was a real mixture of all different kinds, very much like the original Cantina sequence. Working with Gareth Edwards, the director, now on Rogue One, he sees these aliens as being much more part of the human world. They cohabitate. They work together, and it's pushed us so very much to create characters that are more realistic. They have more realistically..." What? Oh, they move more realistically, he continues. "They're able to emote more than maybe the characters that we did with The Force Awakens. They're a closer part of the storytelling. They're less of the world, and they're more of the group who have a mission and play a part in that." So, if you thought the aliens were realistic in The Force Awakens, just you wait. Just you wait and see. You'll think they're real in Rogue One when it hits theaters on December 16th. By the way, this just in, and we're going to talk about this on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club as well this week. If you're not subscribed, please do so. GNcasts.com/geeks. That episode 8 is being pushed forward or pushed back 7 months. They've decided to do a Christmas release on all these movies. So Christmas 2017 will be episode 8. So you guys just saw, finally, Brad. Well, Anessa saw it before, but for the first time, Brad, you saw The Force Awakens, right? Just
yes.
Recently.
Yes, we did.
What were your thoughts, sir?
For as long as it took us to actually go see the film, I was not spoiled in any way, shape, or form. I made sure to avoid things on the internet. So I was surprised by a number of the things that were kind of shocking and interesting in the film.
So going back to the alien conversation, there's that scene in what was that character's name where they went to see? The one that was voiced by Lupita? Is it Lupita?
Oh, I can't remember her name. Yeah, the shorter yellow skinned alien.
Big bug eyes.
Yeah.
Maz,
right?
Yeah, Maz.
Maz, yep. Something.
Something like that. Yeah.
She was great.
I don't know, but she loved Chewie.
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Those aliens were great in that bar, whatever. It's kind of a bar, right? Sort of.
Yeah, I would call it that.
Yeah. So even better than that for Rogue One, apparently.
Nice. Yeah, the effects work and everything that they did, boy, it really, really looked great.
It made you feel like you were in that world, right? It didn't really take you out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like just
and oh, go ahead.
I was going to say just the little things on the desert world. What was it called?
Jakku.
Jakku, yeah. Just every little thing. I mean, they didn't. They had close attention to detail on the aliens in that movie.
Yeah, and I'm not really spoiling anything by saying this because we've seen images of the desert planet, the settings. Were amazing. And you know, I had a discussion with my boss, Andy Gilley, and you know, he had mentioned that when you look at episodes 4, 5, and 6 shot in the late 70s, early 80s, and then you look at the prequels really did their best to show you all of Coruscant, or they did their best to show you all of Jar Jar Binks's underwater world. Whereas in episodes 4, 5, and 6, they did tighter shots and you only saw bits of Mos Eisley. You only saw bits of Tatooine. You only saw smaller bits of things. They didn't try to make it this grand visual extravaganza for the different locations that they end up going to. So it was kind of nice that they went back to that feel and not try to overwhelm you with massive effects or, you know, all sorts of craziness to try to wow you.
And I think that makes a difference, too. I think it makes it more personal.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. Intimate is the word I was looking for.
I would use that word in this case, most definitely.
All right. So, Brad, do you want to keep talking and bring us your news story?
I will do so. The story I'm bringing is also from express.co.uk. So this is going to be good. Real X-Files, global top secret UFO files on alien encounters have been released.
Bum, bum, bum.
Good timing since the X-Files is back this week.
Yes. Oh, I know.
I'm sorry. Hang on. For years, alien investigators have been demanding the release by governments across the globe of all confidential files they hold relating to UFO and extraterrestrial sightings. It is called the Disclosure Movement, and UFO conspiracists insist there is a worldwide cover-up to prevent the truth that aliens have previously landed from getting out. Alien believers feel if this came out, it would spark mass hysteria among the general public, destroying their ideas of religion and causing society to crumble. While many UFO investigators insist this full disclosure is a long way off, one claims the pressure over it has already had significant success. But Nigel Watson, a British UFO researcher and author, claims we are halfway there. He said, "You do not have to break into Area 51 or hack into government computer networks to discover thousands of top secret UFO documents." Mr. Watson said many formerly top secret and classified documents about UFO sightings and inquiries have already been released by governments across the globe online, but they are not always easy to access or advertised. He said UFO government secrets reveals where you can find online access to these files that have been released by governments throughout the world. And yeah, there's another link in this story. If you go to the show notes, you'll be able to check out some of this, but there's a sublink within this story that will take you to this UFO government secrets thing that they're talking about. Many were classified for decades and have taken years of petitioning by ufologists to be made public. For the first time ever, this book provides the most comprehensive guide to these files, allowing you to outsmart even Scully. See, they put in Sculler. I mean, if you're going to do a story about that mentions the X-Files specifically, you'd think that you would at least have the decency to, spell the names right.
Or don't let your computer spell check it for you.
Okay, back to the story. Allowing you to outsmart even Scully and Mulder before they return to our TV screens for the new X-Files series.
I like Sculler.
That's my
favorite X-Files character.
Yeah, when I hear the name Sculler.
So would it be Moldy?
Yes.
Sculler.
Moldy.
Moldy.
When I hear the name Sculler, I think of maybe a former college quarterback who was injured and was no longer able to play professionally or on the track to be a professional football player. So he decided to get into the FBI. Sculler. And he uses his football training to put the hurt on secret aliens and other conspiracy. Yeah, whatever. Mr. Watson said, through the amount of information, though the information was now plentiful, it has still not satisfied many researchers who believe the documents released are just a smokescreen to obscure the real nature and extent of dealings between our leaders and alien beings. These ufologists are demanding that governments now come clean. I want to pause for a moment and ask this question. If you don't believe that the governments are releasing the proper documents or they're releasing full information about stuff, if a government were to go, all right, yep, you caught us, here's everything, you still wouldn't believe that they've given you everything. That always bothers me. Meanwhile, skeptics argue the documents that have been released so far do not prove aliens exist because there have been no real encounters. Last month, express.co.uk reported how Gary McKinnon, a British man who hacked into the computers of NASA and several U.S. defense agencies over several years looking for the truth about aliens, found next to nothing on the subject. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on.
Diddly, 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 diddly.
I talked about that.
Yes. So there you go. Even if they were to release the absolute and complete truth, there would always be jackasses out there that said, nah, it's not real. You're giving us lies.
Have we become more bitter as time has gone by?
Yes.
I have a feeling that we have. Like early on in our earlier episodes, we're like, we almost believed almost everything, but now we're just like, yeah, stupid people believe anything, blah, blah, blah.
Boy, those kids today, they don't, they get off my lawn.
No, I have an open mind. I try to believe things, but when you're stupid, you're stupid. When you're being stupid.
I don't know. I'm willing to listen and think about it, and I'm not always going to agree or believe.
Yeah. Well, how's the how does the saying go? I want to believe. I want to believe.
I want to believe.
Yeah. That's what Sculler says. In Sculler's office.
Or is that
that's Moldy.
Oh, Moldy.
Moldy. We'll call this episode Moldy and Sculler.
Yes. All right, cool. All right. Great news, guys. Great teamwork with that news this week. Thank you very much.
Major market.
Oh, right.
Help Galactic Netcasts pay for this quality content. No, help us afford things like web and audio hosting by supporting us on Patreon. Why don't you? We would really appreciate that. Please go to Patreon. That's patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. Don't forget that S at the end. And pledge as little as $1 a month. If you pledge even more every month, you'll get cool rewards like for $3, you'll get a newsletter once a month with extra stories related to all of our podcasts. And for $5 a month, you get an extra episode of each of our podcasts available exclusively to our patrons. So, it's a pretty cool deal. Again, the URL is patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. And we'll have a link in the show notes and on our website to get you directly to the Patreon page. So you can help out. All right. I think we got a sighting. Here we go.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a zone. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
Look, up in the sky. What is that? It's a sighting of some kind. Anessa, explain.
Howdy.
Hi. What are we looking at here?
It's a cheese curd. See? It's a cheese curd. Sorry. All right. So Minnesota witnesses watch small orbs move out of UFO.
Ooh.
Yep. Witnesses at Prior Lake, reported watching a red-orange glowing ball about 6 feet in diameter hovering over a marsh area that rose up, emitted two smaller spheres, and moved away, according to testimony in case number 73536 from MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. What?
8675309. The investigator's name, Jenny, asked who she could turn to file this report.
All right. At approximately 7:30 p.m. on October 28th, 2015, the two witnesses were sitting in the sunroom of a house in Prior Lake watching TV when a bright circular object above the tall grass in the swampy area about 400 feet away attracted the second witness's attention. She called it to my attention, the reporting witness stated. This object, about 5 or 6 feet in diameter, was rising up and moving to the left at an angle. As it rose, it emitted two similar objects, each perhaps a foot and a half in diameter, which moved to each side in the first object. And three flew off together in formation in a northeast direction until they were out of sight. The objects were all a red-orange color and not quite as bright as the full harvest moon. MUFON Minnesota Chief Investigator William I. McNeff and Field Investigator Dean R. DeHarport investigated and closed this case as unknown.
Diddly 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 diddly.
Oh, sorry.
Ding, ding. Do. Note that the UFO was roughly in the middle of the marsh when first seen. Both east to west and north to south, and was over standing water full of thick cattails and virtually inaccessible to a human. So it's unlikely that the UFO was a device launched by human beings, McNeff and DeHaport stated in their report. Possible exceptions are a drone or a Chinese lantern. Neither of these capable of emitting two smaller lighted spheres. The time these objects lasted and the apparent intelligent control rules out swamp gas. I like that there's an explanation point after swamp gas. The objects were partially obscured by the trunks of trees which grow on the west slope to the swamp. But witness A did not notice these trees during the sighting. It seems that the mind can ignore such minor obscuration when something interesting happens. The tree trunks were mostly bare of branches, which helped with the view. As object moved to the left, the wall between the two pairs of windows blocked witness B's view of the object, and it went out of her field of view. Witness B estimated the diameter of the object to 6 feet. A check of the Prior Lake American website revealed an article called Close Encounters of the Eerie Kind, datelined Friday, October 30th, 2015, in the spirit of Halloween, which included a ghost story, an article about a dirt geyser on a farm near Jordan, Minnesota, and a story about a UFO report in Prior Lake that was caused by the Mystic Lake Casino lights. But that UFO report was for August 29th, 2015, and was already documented by MUFON and shortly thereafter explained by the reporting witnesses, saving us some work. MUFON has several UFO cases that turned out to be Mystic Lake lights. Witness A and Witness B had the impression that this report had been about the same time as theirs, an easy mistake to make. These objects they reported cannot be identified, and so must be considered unidentifiable flying objects. Since they were apparently under intelligent control, they could also be termed unidentifiable aerial vehicles. Many similar reports of glowing reddish or orange spheres are in MUFON's files and have been called red balls of light or orange balls of light or orbs. Although the latter term is not as descriptive and has been used to describe other spherical UFOs. And in case people are wondering, Prior Lake is a city 20 miles southwest of downtown Minneapolis, next to Savage and Shakopee.
Yeah.
Shakopee in Scott County, Minnesota. Population 22,796.
Yeah, salute.
It's considered a northern suburb of the Twin Cities.
Hmm. Or not southern?
Where is it?
Southwest of downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah. So southern. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Okay. I was wondering if maybe I read it wrong. So I like Shakopee better. Shakopee.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Minnesota.
Vanessa is a 11-year-old, apparently.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Orange. Balls.
Yes, we got it. We got it, Vanessa.
11-year-old.
Yep.
Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. That's our sighting this week. Yeah, a pretty recent sighting. All right. Do you believe? Do you guys believe?
I think it's really interesting. Like they know that it would be easy to mistake the casino lights for a UFO. Mm-hmm. To me, it sounded like they were aware of that. But yeah, it's not quite something that you could explain. You could kind of, you have an inkling of what it might be, but yeah, I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting because it wasn't like a clear, like, oh yeah, that's totally an airplane, or oh yeah, that's totally casino lights.
It was a craft from another world. With little drone crafts coming out of it to do the exploring.
Yep. Yeah. Although I did kind of wonder, like, I think they mentioned that the moon was out. I wasn't sure if there were clouds involved, because then that would also be casino lights.
Okay.
Like bouncing off the clouds. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? It's intriguing, nonetheless.
It is. Something to think about. What do you think?
I think it's great.
Awesome.
I don't know what it is for sure, but I think it's great. I don't trust sightings that take place at night. Like there's too big of a margin for error when it comes to night sightings. I believe daytime sightings a lot more than night sightings.
But then you could have the sun reflecting off of something and making you think that it's something that it's not.
Yeah, I guess I believe more in daytime sightings of solid objects, of metallic solid objects that you see in the sky.
True that.
All right, let's move on to our picks. Before we do, though, don't forget you can subscribe to this here podcast very easily. All you have to do is go to gncasts.com/aliens. All right, gncasts.com/aliens. There you can find all the information that you'll ever need about this podcast, including the episodes, subscription links, the social network links as well, all that Patreon link. It's all there at gncasts.com. For all the other shows on the ever-growing Galactic Netcast Network, go to gncasts. That's just gncasts.com. All right. Final segment of this here podcast, our picks. These are alien-related something. TV shows, movies, games, music. I said games, books, comic books, that kind of thing. And Anessa, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
My pick involves origami.
Mm.
Da, da, da.
All right.
I ended up getting a book called Star Wars Origami. And it's written by Chris Alexander. And it's actually really cool. You've got different... It starts off with the basics. So it talks about the various types of folds to kind of get you familiar with what they're talking about in later pages. So they talk about definitions for fold, like for certain folds, tells you how to make a square, how to make an equilateral triangle, how to do display stands, all that good stuff. And then it just goes into different characters and objects and vehicles from the Star Wars movies. At the end of the book, it actually includes paper for you to tear out and use on your origami projects. So they actually do look like the characters that you're creating. So you've got C-3PO page, and there's Boba Fett, which I made. He's got a really short antenna, though. I didn't tear out the paper. I just used a plain white sheet of paper, but he's got like a little antenna up here, and you can see the folds here. So, Mr. Mandalorian. If you're not sure about the difficulty, what's kind of cool is at the top of each project, at the beginning, it'll tell you what level the difficulty is. So I believe it starts off with Jedi training. Then it moves up to Padawan. I'm trying to find the index. One complaint that I have about the book is that it doesn't just automatically organize everything by difficulty. You have to go to the back of the book to figure that out. Oh, you've got Youngling, easy. Then you've got Padawan, which is medium. Jedi Knight, difficult. Jedi Master, very tricky. And then it just has all of the objects listed alphabetically. So if you are really wanting to build a Millennium Falcon, you can find it rather quickly. The other cool thing is for each thing that you build, create, fold, I guess. You're not really building, you're folding. I guess it'd be building too, just with one material. it'll actually talk about what it is that you're making. So it'll give a little description, a little history of Boba Fett or Chewbacca or whatever it is that you're building, which I thought was kind of cool. And throughout the book, they've got random little quizzes and tests as far like matching things. So like match this character to their ship or whatnot. So it's actually a fun little book. I recommend it. I found it on Amazon, but it is available at Michael's. I've seen it at Michael's, and I think it runs about $16, $17 at Michael's. I was going to see if the price was on here. I got it through Amazon because it was $10 and I have Prime. So
okay,
that's where I went. But if you don't have Amazon or don't want to futz with it, and you want to go out and start folding paper right now, then I would suggest probably checking Michael's. Joanne's probably has it. If you shop at Hobby Lobby, it's probably there too. I don't know. Joanne's or Michael's would probably be my guess, just because I've seen a ton of Star Wars themed things, including crafty bits. So
okay,
there you go.
Excellent.
Origami.
You're so crafty, Anessa.
It's true. It takes a lot of effort. It's not a natural thing.
All right. Let's move on to... no, I'll do mine first, then Brad can wrap up picks. My pick is a TV show called Colony. It premiered last week. I think in the States it's on USA. In Canada, where I am, it's on A&E, I think. I think it's on A&E. Anyways, it's from Carlton Cuse, who was one of the producers on Lost, and it also stars Josh Holloway from Lost. This is like, I think, his second attempt at a series since Lost went off the air. And I think, yep. I think this is going to do better than the previous one, which I didn't think was that good.
That's the one where he had the like computer chip stuffed in his head?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Chuck for a Next Generation.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was too soon. Yeah. It also stars the woman that played Rick's wife from They're Surviving the Walkers.
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
So, set in the future, Colony centers on a family headed by Holloway and the woman, who must make a difficult decision as they balance staying together with trying to survive. They live in L.A., which has been occupied by a force of outside intruders. While some people have chosen to collaborate with the authorities and benefit from the new order, others have rebelled and suffer the consequences. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say about the show. Despite, although I'm going to say that they're not revealing too much. I've only watched the one episode because episode two is airing tonight. But I was very, very impressed with episode one. For the visual effects, they are awesome. And for the fact that they don't reveal, like I said, a whole lot. Everything's kind of in the dark right now. You know that there is an outside force, and you think they're aliens because there's this technology that obviously we don't have on planet Earth. And the city's walled off, so it's very much an occupation, but we don't know why, and we don't know who. But we do know that the worst-case scenario, if you do something, you'll end up going to the factory, which sounds really bad. And there are people that collaborate with the government, and there's also the what's the word I'm looking for? People fighting against it. There's a word for that type of organization, not terrorist.
A rebel. Rebellion.
Yeah, rebellion, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Check it out if you get a chance. You'll get in early. It's only episode two this week. So, it's Colony. It's very, very cool alien science fiction show. And it's done very well. And IO9 likes it, so that's even better news. If IO9 likes something, then it's usually pretty good.
Nice.
All right. Wrapping up picks. Brad, what do you got?
My pick is actually a... kind of a follow-up to an episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club where we had writer Mark Stay. He co-wrote the screenplay for Robot Overlords, which starred Sir Ben Kingsley and Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
A great interview, and if you can go back and to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club and find that interview. He's a very, very nice man who stayed up very late because he lives in the UK to do an interview with us.
I feel bad for all the people that we bring in from the UK. They're always, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning there.
I know. But the story of Robot Overlords and the movie's on Netflix right now. So you can take a look at it there. Earth has been conquered by robots from a distant galaxy. Survivors are confined to their houses and must wear electronic implants, risking incarceration by robot sentries if they venture out. Incineration.
Yeah.
I totally misread that.
Big difference.
They are incarcerated in their homes. This is a fact. If they do manage to go outside, they have like 2 minutes to get back into their house or within a house. Mm-hmm. They can't be out on the streets. This is very much a young adult movie. And I say that, and Mark Stay even mentioned that it's really kind of meant for tweens, teenagers, but it's a very interesting film. It definitely has a somewhat of a post-apocalyptic feel. You are in a world that's still slightly in the future. There are collaborators, kind of like with what you were talking about with the colony, Dave.
Yep. Sounds very similar, definitely.
Yeah, they do have, they're kind of like zone liaisons. They break up these areas into zones. And there are different types of robots that are sentinels and oversee the areas. There are kind of these bruiser robots with a gun arm. They have what are called clankers, which are, they're six-legged mobile turrets that are kind of designed more for either suppressing fire, or it can be used long range like a sniper rifle. And then there are aerial-based drone robots. And there is, from what we know, there is a very small, humanish looking robot. She's about the size of a child who, at different parts of the world, there seems to be different versions of this type of android almost looking robot. It's a very humanistic looking robot. All the other robots look very much mechanical. This is the exception to the rule. It's very interesting to see the circumstances that go into, which culminates into basically the end of the film. I'm trying really hard not to give anything away, but there's kind of like a comedy of errors where the kids find a way to get around the implants triggering the robots to come after them. And then one of the other children who is targeted for termination is accidentally granted a gift and becomes the most unique human being on the planet. And the robots are actually afraid of him. So it's a very fun film. It's very much targeted for, you know, like I said, tweens. You know, it kind of had a Harry Potter kind of vibe, not in the fantasy sense, but in the overall, you know, the kids are there to save the day, kind of empowering for young adults, tweens. So I would give it, boy, out of 5 flying saucers, you know, I would give it a 4. Yeah, I'd give it 4.
For a lower budget, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it really is. And Sir Ben Kingsley is a very, very unlikable character. And, you know, I keep thinking of him in Amadeus, and he plays Moliere. And it kind of had that sort of a feel to me of him being, he's trying to be liked, but he's failing miserably.
Yep.
So.
Well, I mean, he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. He's trying to do his best. He's trying to do what he thinks is best for humanity by doing the thing that they think is making him a bad person, right? I'm trying not to give away too much.
Yeah, it's a little more sinister than that. That's all I'll say.
Okay. All right, cool. That is our picks. So in review, we had Robot Overlords, we had the Colony, and Star Wars Origami with Anessa. And we'll put the links in the show notes when you get the podcast and all that kind of stuff. So if you're listening to the podcast, links will be there both in the player of your podcast and then also on our YouTube channel as well. So easy links to get to all the stuff that we talked about here on the show. If you have any feedback, please email it to aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Call our voicemail number, too. That's 805-328-3966. Leave a message, 805-328-3966. Subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. And if you like what you hear, please give us a 5-star rating and write a review. We're also on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can leave a comment on this episode there as well. All subscription options and links can be found under the Subscribe tab at gncasts.com. So, in conclusion, that's going to do it for this edition of the Alien Invasion Podcast, a production of Galactic Netcasts. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Final thoughts, Brad.
I'm tempted to see Star Wars again. It was so good.
There's no tempting about it. I plan on going as well before it gets out of theaters. I've waited long. Circumstances beyond my control. Needless to say, I'm going to see it again before it leaves theaters.
I wouldn't mind seeing it a third time.
You're lucky for seeing it twice already.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Anessa, what do you got? Final thought.
This month's loot crate is probably my favorite one so far. Oh my gosh. The theme this month for January was Invasion.
Ooh.
And they sent a couple of really cool prints. One was War of the Worlds, and then the other one was The Day the Earth Stood Still. Really awesome. I think we're going to put those in a frame and hang them up on the wall in the Nerdatorium.
Yeah, we are.
And then they had... Well, I also subscribed to the Level Up for socks, at least for the time being. So there's like alien themed with the little green guy, not like alien as in the xenomorph themed socks. And then the other ones, I think, were Destiny themed socks. But as far as the actual crate goes, there was an X-Files flashlight. There was a replica of the multipass from The Fifth Element.
Nice.
And I was like, multi-pass. And then they had a little character. And apparently they have them available in different colors, but the little characters from Space Invaders. And that was really cool. And then they had the little button that you can get something extra with, which they've fancied up their monthly pins. Because it used to just be, you know, like the regular 50-cent buttons, and now they are I forget the term for them, but they're with the enamel painted on.
The Cloyson pins.
Yeah, the Cloyson pins. So those are really cool. What else did they include? I've like drawn a blank. Oh, the T-shirt was X-Files themed.
Oh yeah, the X-Files T-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really awesome too.
Yeah, perfect month to have this. I'm sure they timed it out.
I think they planned it because last month was. I forget what the theme was for last month. But I know on their plus...
It was Galaxy or Galactic, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. They had Galaxy Quest. And they had Star Wars. Because they have things where you can level up. You know, you pay an extra $10, $15 a month and you get something that you can wear. And so for their wearable, it's... It was like Star Wars themed PJ bottoms, I believe. I didn't get them, but they always include what the other level up items are for the month. This month, there's a Star Trek themed level up for the accessories. And then the socks was, of course, I mentioned X-Files and Destiny. And then the other level up, I think... Oh, I subscribe to the monthly t-shirt because I always give Brad the t-shirts from the loot crate. And they've started with, like, you can subscribe for like $8 a month and get a t-shirt. So I'm like, okay, I'll get my own shirt. And my shirt's going to be, it hasn't come yet, but it's going to be the Space Invaders, but they're like heart shaped. You've got the little craft at the bottom shooting at the heart. I thought that was kind of cool, but no, it's like everything that I really love and enjoy with all in one box. Oh, and there is a plush face hugger from Alien, and he was adorable and happy.
All right. All right.
So anyway, if you don't subscribe to Loot Crate, I recommend it. It's like, I think with shipping, it comes out to be about $15-16 a month. If you see a theme that you're not really interested in, because I'll kind of have descriptions on, you know, what you might expect, at least from what genre or whatever. If it's something that you're not interested, you could always pause it. So you can skip a month or two and then resume. So that's kind of a neat feature. But anyway.
$15 a month American, about $30 a month Canadian, because our dollar sucks right now. Just letting you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But no, I totally recommend Loot Crate.
Okay. Thank you, Anessa. Thank you, Brad. And thank you guys for listening. This is it for the Alien Invasion. We'll talk to you next time.
Meow.
Okay, bye.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.